Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. We'll begin in our Fruit of the Spirit faith Bible study. Lord willing, that's our intention. He might call us out of here before we get to read Matthew 8. Who knows? Faith. Praise the Lord, faith. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. We ask for your blessing on it this morning. Lord, bless the Sunday school. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on the upcoming Sunday morning service, the message. You'd have your hand and power on it. And Lord, again, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for being such a long-suffering God and being so good to us. And Lord, we ask again that you'd breathe on and bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter number 8, looking at faith. In verse number 8, we'll begin. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And that's an interesting thing he says at the end, not so great, because we're dealing with a centurion, we're dealing with a Gentile, and he says, I found no such faith in Israel, no great faith, nothing like it in Israel, and that's what he done. He didn't find the faith in Israel, so he turned to the Gentiles, and he turned to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. We know we talked about that a lot. But here in verse number 8, in Matthew chapter number 8, who showed great faith by believing that Jesus would heal his servant? The centurion. And the interesting thing about it is, he said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. There's the humility. But speak the word only. There's faith in the word of God. And my servant shall be healed. You notice something he didn't say? If my servant has enough faith, he'll be healed. You remember when they brought the man to him in the bed? The man didn't have it. It wasn't the faith the man had. It was the faith the people brought him. These jokers on TV and radio and stuff that talk about, well, you're going to be healed, and if you didn't get healed because you didn't have enough faith. If they'll look and read, they're going to find out the healing people are the ones that had the faith or didn't have it. So they're the ones that have the power outage, not the people that aren't getting healed, amen? So, but to Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and this book is the Word of God, and he said, but speak the Word only. The Bible says in Romans, I believe it's 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that gives you faith, and he had faith in the Word of God. We should have faith in the Word of God, amen? We can have faith in the Word of God. We have a limited amount of ability to believe in man. We can believe some things. And I'm originally from Missouri, the show me state. I want to see it. I hear a lot of stuff I never see. I see a lot of stuff I don't believe. And see a lot of stuff I wish wasn't happening. But we can trust the Word of God. We can have faith in it. And we get faith from it. Isn't that something? You put your faith in it, and he gives you faith back. That's just an amazing thing. That's the way the Lord works. You give it to him, he'll give it back to you. Any talent that you have, if you give it to the Lord, he'll probably let you keep it. Not only will he let you keep it, he'll probably grow it. And it's because of your faith in his word. It's the best return system in the world. You put faith in him, and he'll give you more faith, and you can trust in him. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, oh, somebody's trying to get me to buy Bitcoin. You got to buy Bitcoin. You got to buy do this. You got to buy that. You know, I don't have a problem with that, but don't put all your faith in that stuff. The American dollar, I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in that now either. But the whole thing about in God we trust, there was a reason that was on there. We don't trust that green and white piece of paper. We trust the Lord. And no matter what happens to, whether it's a Bitcoin or that green thing that's got a one on it, it's worth about 30 cents now. that dollar, you know, that stuff, we don't have faith in that. We'll go to the gas pump, and I get excited about it, too. I get not excited in a good way, but I get excited when I go over there one day, and it's $2.97, and the next day it's $3.39. I get a little bit bent, actually, because I think it shouldn't be that way. But honestly, God fills our tanks anyway. He's going to take care of it. You know, what's the worst that would happen? We'd have to drive 20 less miles a week to make up the 30 cents? I mean, seriously. We're like, oh my goodness, the whole, this is it. It's the mark of the beast. It's $3.39 a gallon. You know? You even touch that gas pump and you're sealed. Your fate is sealed. It's over with. We're in the tribulation. You know? Hogwash. I don't want it to be, but if it was $35 a gallon, God would still take care of us. You know? We'd probably all lose a little weight, amen, because we'd have to walk more. But He'd take care of us. Our faith is in Him. It's not in man. It's not in man's system. And by the way, we're not bringing in a kingdom. Jesus Christ is. The man is helping bring in a kingdom, but it's the kingdom of the Antichrist. And all this ecumenical baloney where we're going to bring in the kingdom, we're going to get gooder and gooder. No. The Antichrist is just getting more subtle and more subtle. And we're approaching a day where He calls the church out, and then it's game on for the devil on this earth. But we're not bringing in a kingdom. We're putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to rule and reign. He's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years and perfectly reign like no king has ever reigned. Even David, probably the best, well, obviously, according to God, he was the best king Israel ever had. And he's a type of Christ, but he sinned. There's going to be one that's sinless that sits on that throne. And we can put our faith in the Word. We can put our faith in the words of God. I'm glad we have a Bible that teaches us more about our Savior. But that's what the centurion did. He put his faith in God, and he said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Shall be healed, not may, shall be healed. Matthew chapter 9. Well, let's look at verse 20, and it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood. Am I in the right one? Yep. With an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now our faith, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we know the Bible talks about we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's putting faith in Him. Now there's a difference between spiritual salvation and physical healing because we're not in the same time. Jesus Christ isn't physically walking this earth doing that. And that transition period in Acts where He was trying to show the Jews, the Gentiles and the Jews were getting in the church together, that transition period's over, so there's nobody walking around just touching people, healing them anymore. Not physically. Now, there's a spirit that walks that comes around this earth, a good spirit of God that'll touch people and heal them. Praise God. But He doesn't give that power to a select man that's wearing a white suit that says, send me your money and I'll send you a wet rag and you can lay that under your pillow. And if you've got enough faith, anything you've got a problem with will be fixed. That's hogwash. That's just baloney. But this man here, or this woman here, she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Matter of fact, what did she do? And what did the woman with blood disease touch in faith? The hem of his garment. And that just touching the hem of his garment healed her. So, we talk about that seamless robe. You know, remember when they crucified Christ, they parted his garments except that seamless coat sewn from top to bottom was no seam. That's his robe of righteousness. And if you touch his righteousness, you get healed. There's not our righteousness is filthy rags. I mean, we can get the Pharisaical look going on and all that junk, but our righteousness we've got holes in our righteous rag. Righteous rags is what we wear, self-righteous. But his righteousness is perfect. And she didn't even have to get a hold of the whole coat. There's enough righteousness in his. He had more than enough righteousness to make her right, to get her straightened out, and more than enough for us. I don't say this in pride, but I say this in wonder of why people don't read their Bible. But to think that we could lose our salvation in this church age when we're only trusting Christ, and the blood that He shed was perfect blood. It was God's blood. He shed blood, and He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before you committed one sin, He was slain for you. And how could you get saved and still sin? First of all, you can't, because you're not this body. This body still sins. You're not this flesh. But second of all, Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all our sin, all unrighteousness. It wasn't the blood of bulls and goats. You'd have had a problem then. It's the blood of the perfect one, the Savior, God's blood, Acts 20:28. But the hem of His garment, that's all she had to do, was touch the hem of His garment. All she had to do is get a hold of Jesus. And that's all people have to do right now. I got to talk to a young lady last night by the grace of God. And she's religious, you know. She said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you." She said, I'll just be honest. I don't go to church. I'll be honest with you. And she goes, "I used to go to the Catholic church when I was a kid." And I thought, well, praise God, you got a right step in the right direction. You went to a Catholic church. Now you don't go to church. You're heading the right direction. And I got to talk to her a little bit about the Lord, and you could just see that light coming on. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. But all she needs to do is just touch the hem of His garment. You know, she don't need to get a hold of beads. She don't need to get a hold of the priest. She don't need to get a hold of no wafer, no little cup of wine or any of that stuff. She needs to get a hold of Jesus Christ. And I believe she will. She might have. I don't know. I believe she will. I've seen it in her eyes. Boy, you could just tell when the Lord's working on them. But what a blessing to be able to talk about our Lord and Savior to lost folks. This woman just touched the hem of His garment. Look at 27 through 30. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' They said unto Him, 'Yea, Lord.' Then touched He their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.'" So, who was it that come to Him? Two blind men. And He healed them by faith. They put their faith in Him. They trusted Him. That's it. It's faith. And, you know, this is a type, this is a picture of salvation for the church age. We get healed by faith. And their physical disease of blindness fits into our physical disease of sin, our spiritual disease of sin. This sin-cursed flesh, we can't see right, we can't walk right, we can't talk right. And you can see account after account after account of Him healing those fleshly diseases of the eyes and the ears and the walk and the ability to stand, and we can stand because of faith in Him. And it's just an amazing book we have. But those two blind men, and He healed them up. Look at, let's see, Mark 24, or Mark 9, excuse me. Mark 9. So we have this father, his son is possessed with a dumb spirit. And he says in verse 24, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.'" He wanted to put all of his faith in the Lord. He wanted to just believe it. Isn't that true, though? That's where we go to Jesus Christ. We put all of our faith in Him for salvation. And then the rest of our life, we're trying to give all of our faith to Him for the walk. And we've got all these other influences. And that's the problem. We preach on this and teach on this a lot, but I don't think we realize that the reality of this is everything that just automatically goes into us that's against God. And it takes effort to get away from that stuff, separate yourself unto the Lord, and pray and get this book in you, and your faith starts to increase. The world just automatically attacks your faith everywhere you turn. And I think I heard, I don't remember Scott or somebody out here saying something about this new Superman movie. Well, first of all, there was only one Superman, that was Jesus Christ. And he was able to leap tall buildings with a single bound if he wanted. He was able to walk through doors that were shut. Amen. He was able to heal the blind and mend the brokenhearted and all the things that he did. He was able to save a man's soul, and he still is today. But this whole perverted mess they've got going on out there now, first of all, they take the glory of God and they replace it. They put it on something else. A fat guy in a suit that comes down a chimney to give kids stuff. Amen. We'll give the kids will be, oh yeah, they'll worship Santa. And you lie to your kids long enough about Santa, when they get older, they're not going to believe you about Jesus. All the other kids are at school going, there's no Santa. And then they get in college, and you know what the college professors tell them? There's no Jesus either. And they believe it because you lied to them about Santa. Amen. I got lied to about Santa. My folks didn't know they were doing anything wrong. They were just doing what the world does. But we knew. I knew. Because my folks weren't that subtle. They weren't that sly. So I slept with one eye open on Christmas Eve. Amen. I wanted to make sure I got what I was wanting. Or see what I got. See if my sisters got more than I got. That wasn't going to happen. Amen. Old Raggedy Ann might have a bad, tragic accident. But some of y'all are looking at me like, who's Raggedy Ann? That's what happened. She had a tragic accident. She doesn't exist. Amen. But that's the thing. We have so much input from this world, and it's such an unbiblical, astronomical amount of unbiblical garbage that this world feeds. And if we're not, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If we're not reading the Bible and praying and separating ourselves to God to get something from Him, you're just going to be worldly, be carnal, be out of God's will. You get caught up into the religious garbage too about judge not, judge not, judge not. Well, you read the Bible. The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You have to have faith in the Word of God, and He'll give you faith back. And it also says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We're not judging people and casting them into hell. We're judging what they do and what's going on around us. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. Amen. And there's going to be a lot wrong with you. Because if you're not judging what's going on around you, you're not comparing it to what the Bible says, you're just going to get caught up in everything around you. Amen. And you all know it's true. You know, we talk about it all the time. I've got family members I love dearly that, he married a man, but he's really got a good heart. How come the sodomite can have a good heart and the rest of us have to have wicked hearts? No, he doesn't have a good heart. He has a perverted, wicked heart. And he's going to burn in hell forever if he don't get right. Amen. Well, maybe he's saved. If he was saved, he wouldn't do that junk. I'm not saying saved people don't sin. I'm saying saved people don't live in it and flaunt it and enjoy it and brag on it. Saved people have the Holy Spirit of God in them that says, this is wrong and you're going to be convicted. I'm going to put my finger right in the middle between your eyes, and I'm going to tell you regularly you're wrong until you either get right or I take you home. So lost people, they can do all kinds of wicked stuff, and it doesn't bother them. The only thing that bothers them is when they go against what they were taught not to do, physically taught by their parents, you know, the stuff that goes in their mind. And usually that doesn't bother them after a while because they get a rebellious spirit, and they want to go against that, and they enjoy it. But if the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, you can't do that kind of wickedness and enjoy it and flaunt it and pick up a flag with a rainbow on it and thumb your nose at God with it. I mean, good night. I'm amazed that God doesn't strike us dead trying to do right. He's really long-suffering. Amen. But it's feeding yourself the things of the world. After a while, you start believing that stuff. Start thinking it's okay. Well, everybody's doing it. The same people that will tell you when you're three, if everybody jumped off a bridge, will you do it? Will tell you later on, well, everybody's doing it. So, doesn't make it right. Usually if everybody's doing it, it's wrong. Unless you didn't go to high school, you know, or didn't hang around people that did, you might not know that. But when I was growing up, from my teenage years, if everybody was doing it, it was usually wrong. And you can see the world right now, what everybody's doing and accepting and pushing is usually wrong. And what they're rejecting is truth. But he wanted help with his unbelief. You notice that in verse 24, what he says again, it says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What do you think those tears were for? I mean, I like to think about that for stuff like that. They were probably tears of joy knowing that he found the answer. They were probably tears of sadness because he had faith, but he didn't have all the faith he wished he had. And there were probably tears of excitement thinking, boy, what's Jesus going to do when he heals him? Man, what's it going to be like? Amen? Most of us have a dumb spirit, but it ain't not being able to talk. Amen? But Jesus Christ, he's going to heal that one of these days. We're going to hear that trumpet, and we're going to be healed. All the dumb spirit's going to stay here. But he had that faith. He had those tears he shed. And the Lord's been good to us. Been good to me. I shed some tears yesterday. Amen. So I was thinking about how good he'd been to me. And I'm knowing my daughter's going through the closest thing to death you could go through. And crying out to God. Could have shampooed the carpet in that office. But two reasons. One, I knew that he had given me some gifts that I didn't deserve besides salvation. And two, knowing that he'd been so good to me that no matter what happened next door, that he'd be right. And the thought of anything possibly going wrong, the opposite of what I was hoping. And then crying out to God for mercy. Man, we ought to be burning in hell, and he just keeps dumping it out on us, doesn't he? The good stuff. He is. So good a blind man could see it. And a dumb boy could get healed. But man, I'll tell you what, so then faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. We should probably just should say that for the next 20 or 30 minutes, but that is it. It's the Word of God. The centurion got it. The blind man got it. The father of the son with the dumb spirit got it. The woman that touched the hem of his garment got it. In Luke chapter number 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus set at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So who was it that brought that alabaster box of ointment? The woman of the city, the sinner. And how did she wash his feet? With her tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. You see what she did, though? It's something else we don't talk about a lot of times. She kissed his feet. those feet that walked to Calvary. God's feet. The feet that would later be hooked to the same legs and knees that would bow down and wash the feet of the disciples. That woman got it. Washed his feet with her tears, wiped his feet with her hair, and kissed his feet. Look at verse 47 and 48. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So why did she love Jesus so much? Because he forgave her sins. Not her sin, but her sins. Aren't you glad there's an S on that? And I know it could mean a group of sins, even if it was sin, but I'm glad he put that S on there just to remind us. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So what had saved her? Thy faith. Her faith has saved her. Go in peace. The faith that she put in him. And there again, we're saved by grace through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And his grace, our unmerited favor that he gives us, the unmerited favor he gives us for putting faith in him. John chapter number 1. Oh, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't like this part of the Bible. We'll start, look at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They didn't just believe Jesus was real. They didn't believe there is a God. They believed on the name of Jesus. They trusted Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's talking about. People that believe on him and trust him for salvation. Not just that realize there is a God. Just not believing. Not just the fact that people don't believe we come from monkeys or they don't believe evolution, and they might believe God, Genesis 1:1. That doesn't make them saved. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. But as many as, what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the of God, even that believe on his name. So there's believing and receiving right there, amen. We're going to change our church doctrine to match some of that believing and receiving crowd. But talking about believing and receiving Jesus Christ, not believing and receiving that God's going to let us rub a magic lamp and get anything we want. That's some of that stuff's just craziness. But what he don't always give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. And what people need is they need to get saved. Amen. Man, I'll tell you what, I got a little grandson next door. When he gets to be old enough to know he's a sinner, I hope he gets saved immediately. I hope he's got enough Bible in him, got enough prayers going out for him that he just gets saved and does right. And I mean, I hope his list of sins is so short that he gets the judgment seat of Christ one of these days, and the Lord will go, I had to look twice to make sure that was right. But you were pretty good. Amen. You got all kinds of things to lay back at my feet. Amen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And just in case they show up at your door, I always take them to Acts 20:28. Jehovah's Witnesses, they hate that verse, but God loves it because the church was purchased with God's own blood. And they say, well, we believe in Jesus. He's his son, but he's not God. There's all kinds of verses you can take them to. They say, well, I and the Father am one. that just means he was spiritually one. It doesn't mean he was God. You take them to Acts 20:28, and then they're like, well, that's not what our Bible says. Well, that might be true. But that's what God's Bible says. God's Bible says he purchased the church with his own blood. God's Bible says it's not the blood of bulls and goats, because God had to have perfect blood to atone for our sins. And if it wasn't God on Calvary, then we can't go to heaven. You know, so they can do what they want. They can mark off a checklist of addresses and hope that they get enough people checked off that they can make it to heaven. They'll burn in hell. They can do that if they have to. But I always give them the truth. They don't like it, but God likes it. God's not going to like throwing people into hell, but he'll have to, because he's righteous. But all they have to do is trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they can receive him and have the power to become sons of God for believing on his name. They got to have faith. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You almost feel sorry for them, because they can't have the right faith because they don't have the right Bible. Seriously. I mean, they've got this New World Translation, which matches up with the New World Order, amen? All these fake Bibles, are all they're doing, they're lining up the kingdom of the Antichrist. And I don't care if everybody gets upset and their grandma gets her socks twisted and everything else. The Catholic Church is, all those Bibles are connected to Rome. Every single one of them. And this one opposes Rome. Rome don't like that. But I hear a lot of people go, what's that church that's kind of like the Catholic church down the street? And I go, which one? They were Lutheran. No, I'm talking about, you talking about the Southern Baptist? You talking about the American Baptist? You talking about the other independent Baptist? What are you talking about? Because they're all getting to be like that. Because the whore is calling her children home. Amen. And if God calls you with his word, how do you think the devil's going to call his people? With perverted ideas of what God's word is. The devil didn't pervert God's word. God's word is still here. But he's got perversions out there. He calls God's word, and he's calling the children home that way. Back to Rome. Back to Rome. Back to Rome. Because one of these days they're going to have to kiss somebody's ring. One of these days they're going to have to worship some image. It won't be Mary next time, but they're lining everybody up to do it. And one of these days, the folks that aren't called out here in the church age, they'll do it. They'll bow down and worship that image. Nebuchadnezzar will say, bow. And there'll be Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. But the rest of the people go, all right. Because they've been trained to. They've been trained with the false word. Well, I'm going to wrap up there because I'm out of energy. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.